Well, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your love for your people. I thank you, Father God, that you are still on the throne and you are still leading, guiding, and directing your people. I ask, Father God, that your Holy Spirit be here and this morning minister to your people. I ask that your angelic host be here and minister to your people this morning. Father God, your word says you always finish what you start. And I'm asking you, Father God, to continue to do a good work within each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've entitled this The Call because God talked about the call so much through the teaching. I'm encouraging each one of you to be here tonight for this evening service because it's an awesome teaching that, I mean, you know, a word that God is speaking to us. I think that the body of Christ needs to understand that God is truth and everything he says is yes and amen. And we need to quit listening to the lies of the enemy. We need to close our ears to the things that are being said out there in the world. I was watching a video this morning about where there some white people attacked a young white man and knocked his teeth out. And years ago, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20 now, God told me there would be a war between the blacks and the whites. You know, come on. We're all God's children. God doesn't look at color. He created each and every one of us. And church, don't you be partaker of what's going on out there in the world. Our job is to pray. Pray peace in the midst of all this chaos. And I'm hoping and praying that none of you get caught up in this junk. Because it's not godly. And you don't want to lose your place with God by being caught up in it. All right, God said, there is a mighty move of my spirit like the world has not seen. Many are saying this, but they do not understand the depth. Very few understand what is truly coming forth. This is God speaking, and that is very, very true. We hear this statement over and over again. There is a mighty move of God's spirit like the world has not seen, but we, like God says here, we do not truly understand what we are saying. All right? There is a darkness of night that my church does not comprehend. All of hell is arrayed against vessels of honor that are crying out for the darkness to end. True fellowship is something that the church has abandoned. They no longer stay in my presence until they hear my still small voice. They go about the business of the hour and they forget who their maker is. I am calling my children back to true fellowship with me. They will only be able to overcome this gross darkness as they stay close to the flame of my presence. Now, this is one teaching tonight. Tonight's teaching is totally the opposite of what God is doing here this morning. I am calling my children back to true fellowship with me. They will only be able to overcome this gross darkness as they stay close to the flame of my presence. True fellowship with the Father means everyday communion with me, daily study of my word, and love for your brethren. This is all, everything in green is God speaking. True fellowship with the Father means everyday communion with me, and daily study of my word, and love for your brethren. What's going on out there in the world is hate for one another. Total discord, so you know that's not God. This God said, the skies are dark with warfare. The enemy is standing ready to stop any prayer that is going forth from my saints. Push through, little ones, push through. Do not give in and do not give up. The answer is already on its way. Just as Daniel stayed the course in prayer until his answer came, so must my body of believers do the same this day. in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, tells about Daniel's prayer. The skies are dark with warfare. The enemy is standing ready to stop any prayer that is going forth from my saints. That means your prayers. The enemy is trying to stop your prayers. Get that through your head this morning. He's trying to stop your prayers. See, we don't take anything God says on a personal status. We just think he's talking about somebody else. He's talking about you and me. Push through. Do not give in and do not give up. The answer is already on its way. Just as Daniel stayed the course in prayer until his answer came, so must my body of believers do the same this day. So many have already given up, saying, there is no use. God is not listening. I hear that over and over again. Oh, yes, I am, little ones. I listen to every word that is spoken, and I immediately send the answer. Instead of giving up, you need to push back the darkness. You must prevail when all seems hopeless. You must at all costs keep moving forward. You know, we need to be a people that are not a people of church as usual or life as usual. Life changes at every given second. Church services will change at any given second that God so desires to change them. You know, Nancy and I worked on the bulletin, and I got the bulletin picture and everything, but every time I looked at it, it never sat right with me. I just didn't like it, even though I'm the one that did it. I think it was 12 o'clock last night. I think it was around that time, wasn't it, Nancy, when I called you? I said, have you run the bulletin yet? And she said, well, no. I don't know if she did or not, but she said, well, no. And I said, well, can I please change? I want to change the front. And she said, just the front. And I said, yes, I'll send you the picture. And then when I sent the front, I sent her the back, too, to change. But she changed it and then ran the bulletin. But this is what God wanted on it. And the picture I put on it was corresponding to this message. But that picture is corresponding with tonight's message. You know, see, I could have just left it go, and Nancy could have gone all befuddled. I'd have got upset with her, but she'd have got all befuddled. But she didn't. She said, no, we're not running it yet. And even though it was 12 o'clock Saturday night, she went ahead and changed it, and then they ran it. She ran it real quick before I changed my mind again. I'm joking. But see, we have to do what the Spirit of God wants us to do, or nothing is right. Absolutely nothing's right. Now, see, the heaviness, I don't know if you felt or not, but that heaviness is gone now that was over us before we prayed and did the shofar. You have to learn not to muddle through anything when you're working for God. You have to stop and defeat the enemy. Make him bow his knee. Let's go on to what God said. Question, why is it that you give up on me so easily and you allow the enemy to, second after second, take you down that slippery slope of sin? If you would just stand your ground, you would see him walk away. He would leave you alone and go to another. Question, why is it that you give up on me so easily and you allow the enemy to, second after second, take you down that slippery slope of sin? If you would just stand your ground, you would see him walk away. He would leave you alone and go to another. My word tells you to put on the entire armor of God and then stand. Why don't you study that scripture until it is rooted and grounded in your spirit, man? Why is it that you so willingly give in to what the enemy whispers into your ears? Have you no stamina? Have you no backbone? Have you no integrity? Think on these things and then come back to the altar and speak with me. And the weapons is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. God says, bring no excuses to the altar. Bring repentance. Bring brokenness and sorrow for being slothful with my word. Bring love and forbearance. You see, children, you do not understand the kingdom of heaven. Let's read that again. Bring no excuses to the altar. Bring repentance, bring brokenness and sorrow for being slothful with my word. bring love and forbearance. You see, children, you do not understand the kingdom of heaven. God said, I am a loving, forgiving Father, full of mercy and grace, but only to the repentant. I have my arms wide open at this given time for the prodigals. So many have gone their own way and claim I am not real, that I do not exist. But one day they will see the error of their ways, and then it will be too late. Now, right now, is the day of salvation, the day of returning back to your first love, the day of leaving behind all that hinders and come up hither and sit at my feet. Set at my table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. When I gave my children, the Israelites, fresh manna every day, they could not take it and save it for the next day, for it spoiled. So they receive fresh manna each and every day. The same goes with you. Yesterday's manna is stale. You need fresh manna today. But how many come into my presence for that fresh manna daily? How many take time out of their busier than usual day to sit at my feet and be fed by my hand? Find out in Exodus 15:16 about the manna. Well, if you read that, you find out if they took manna more than they needed for one day and kept for the next day, it got wormy. So don't rely on the manna you received last night for today, because it won't work. Today, not tomorrow. I need you to come up hither. I need you to give me your all. I need you to be overcomers in every area of your lives. I need you to be infused with my glory so you can carry that glory to the lost and dying world. He said, I need you to be infused with my glory. Why? So you can carry that glory to the lost and dying world. God said, each day you need to reach higher than the day before. Each day you need to stand on the threshold of heavenly places and touch the heavenly realm. No more compromising my word. No more selling my word short. My word is yes, and it is amen. My word will suffice in every situation in your life. And you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. God's word does suffice. God's word is sufficient for every area of your life. There's nothing that you go through that there isn't an answer in the word for what you're going through. Questions. Do you have my word hidden in your bosom? Do you have my peace and my joy shining forth for lost and dying to pull from? Are you so saturated with my glory that no matter where you may roam, that glory will touch and change lives? There's questions to you this morning from God. Do you have my word hidden in your bosom? Do you have my peace and my joy shining forth for lost and dying to pull from? Are you so saturated with my glory that no matter where you may roam, that glory will touch and change lives? Even if one answer is no to these questions that God just asked you, then you need to come back to the footstool and dine with your Father of all light until you are infused with heavenly wisdom. Now God said, let's talk about wisdom. Where does your wisdom come from? Does it come from your inner pride? Does it come from something you read? Does it come from something someone spoke into your life? Then God says, true wisdom comes from above. This wisdom outlasts any other wisdom. The only way you receive this wisdom is by sitting at my table and dining with me in heavenly places. I will give you wisdom beyond your years if you will come and dine. The invitation is out there. Will you come? Will you forsake all else and come and dine with me? I promise you will not go away empty, for I will fill you to overflowing with heavenly wisdom. What this world needs today is heavenly wisdom. And Job 28:12-13 says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. In Daniel 2:20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I know a lot of people do not fear God, and therefore you have not even started understanding wisdom. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good faith and path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. So you men, if you have wisdom, you're not going to be caught. The women aren't going to entice you to do things that are ungodly. Isn't that what that just said? This is the reason why the body of Christ has fallen apart the way it has, because they do not have heavenly wisdom. We've read books that people wrote to tell us how to live. You know, we watch movies. We do everything else except read the Word of God. Worldly wisdom is not good wisdom. We need the wisdom of the Father. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There's nobody in this world that can tell you the things that God can tell you. Nobody. There's nobody in this world that can tell you about wisdom except God's word. I'm sorry, guys, but God is greater than any person that you may encounter. And it's God who we should be searching his heart for whatever answers that we have need of. Then God said, children, my wisdom will sustain you in every area of life. The world's wisdom will destroy your very foundation. Let's talk a little bit about long-suffering. Many do not know how to be long-suffering. They want to go through life without any troubles. They want to every day walk through life like a sweet breeze in the treetops. That is not a walk of faith. That is not a walk of long suffering. Children, in my word, it tells you that you will suffer. Does not Matthew tell you that from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and a violent take it by force? And you'll find that in Matthew 11:12. God said, then why are you seeking no suffering? That is not even biblical. My word talks about sorrow and suffering. All of my disciples went through one tribulation after another. They were full of sorrow and they suffered. They had to give up loved ones to follow me. So what makes you any different? Why is it that you think you have a special corner in my kingdom where sorrow and suffering does not exist? Why do you think that you should be loved by everyone and treated with kid gloves? Think on these things and then come back to me and we will talk like two adults instead of babies. Wasn't that an awesome statement from God? How many people do you know that they don't want you to hurt their feelings? They don't want you to tell them the truth. Even if they're one step out of going to hell, they want you to pat them on the back and say everything's okay. They don't want to hear that there's trouble. They just want to hear love, 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 love. Well, love is what's talking to you and telling you, you better get it together, you're going to go to hell. Right? You know, if you don't care about somebody, you don't care where they go. But if you truly love people, you're going to tell them, you know, you really need to get this together, or you're not going to sit in heavenly places, right? I'm hearing God say, do not be deceived, I am not mocked. He said, you need to search me with all of your hearts for the wisdom that you will need for the days that are coming upon you. And I'm also hearing not even your president, Donald J. Trump, knows the full extent of what's coming upon this land. God said, have I not said in my word that I give you a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel? Then what is the problem? I am not a man that I should lie. I tell you the truth always. Some say, well, I don't want to hear the truth about myself. God said, then you are not mine. It's as simple as that. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 8, look. It says, look, I have made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. I have made your foreheads like a diamond, harder than flint. Don't be afraid of them or discouraged by the look on their faces, even though they are a rebellious house. When you go out there and talk to the church, especially, they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. And they're going to look at you like you have two heads. So God says, I've given your forehead a flint. It's hard as a diamond. Don't worry about what they look like or what they're saying. Just do what I'm calling you forth to do. God said, I need strong towers that others can run into. I do not need a bunch of sniffling babies that need pampered at every turn. What's God been calling us to do? Be strong towers, right? Read the structure in my word. Did not all of my disciples suffer for the kingdom of God? Did not my own precious son, Jesus of Nazareth, suffer for all of humanity? Then why should you be any different? You say, what is a strong tower? A strong tower is definitely not a coward. It is not one that shrinks back into a corner. A strong tower is a righteous man that puts his trust in me. Others can go to him and know they will be safe and secure in my word. And I looked this up, and one of the uses for towers in the Old Testament is that they were used as fortresses in times of war. And in Judges 9:51, it says, but there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. And this is what God's calling us to be. He's been calling us for quite some time to be strong towers. And so if there's somebody, even in the body of Christ, that's still a little baby in Christ, they know that you know the word. They know you walk with God, and they know that if they come to you, that you're going to speak truth to them, and you're going to love them, and you're going to carry them through. Just like these people ran into that tower where they knew there was safety, they will know there's safety in you. And until they learn their safety in Jesus, they're going to rely on you. And your job is to keep them safe and then point them to Jesus. And God went on to say, children, when I come in all my glory, will you be ready? Will you be ready to carry the weightiness of my glory? Will you be ready to leave all and follow me? These are questions you need to ask yourselves. I am not coming after a weak nation. I am coming after a nation built up in me, a nation that is trustworthy, that I can send into the far regions of the land, the regions where others fear to tread. I'm asking you, are you one of those? In Exodus 40, chapter 40, verse 34 says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the kabod glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud lay upon it, and the kabod glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The root meaning of our Hebrew word kabod is weight or heaviness, and thus splendor, honor, or glory. So God said, will you be ready to carry the weightiness of my glory? And that weightiness is splendor, honor, or glory. Are you ready? Is your vessel ready to carry the glory of God? Each one of you know whether or not your vessel is ready. God said, when I send you to the ghettos, the darkness will try to overtake you. You will need to be strong and steadfast in my word. You will need to know to whom you belong. You need to know that the enemy is not playing games, but you also need to know that you have all power and authority in me. Then you will be able to say, through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. And watch the enemy flee on all sides. Always remember that all power and authority has been given to my children. We hear people say, through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. That's just something they read, and they don't no more know what that means than the man in the moon. They just throw those phrases out there. And what did God say? When I send you to the ghettos, the darkness will try to overtake you. You will need to be strong and steadfast in my word. You will need to know to whom you belong. You need to know that the enemy is not playing games, but you also need to know that you have all power and authority in me. Then you will be able to say, through Christ Jesus, I can do all things, and watch the enemy flee on all sides. It's only that then that this will happen. Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus gave his disciples all power and all authority. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Yes, you are. Then you have all power and all authority. And you can do the same things that the disciples did. I was, for some reason, rather, it came in my spirit yesterday that, you know, the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? They fought among themselves, did they not? They was jealous of one another, were they not? And did they not, whenever Jesus, one time he was teaching and they said, look how he speaks, you know, they were just amazed at the things Jesus was saying. And it wasn't until after he died that they realized who he was. I said all that to say this. When God sends you forth to be a shepherd of the sheep, your sheep will look at you the same way the disciples did Jesus. And one day a light bulb will go off, the fire alarm will ring or something. You say, oh, wow, this has to be a child of God. And it might not. They might get mad at you and leave you. And then after they've left you, got out from under the shelter of your shepherding, then they realize, oh, that really was a child of God. And I did not understand it when I was sitting under them. So if God's calling you to be a shepherd of any kind, or evangelist of any, or whatever, this is what's going to happen to you. People aren't going to accept you no more than they did Jesus until... It's a little bit late. Luke 10:17 says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, you know, to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. If you're a disciple of Jesus, Jesus is saying that to you this morning. Nothing will harm you. And we need to understand we receive all power and authority from Jesus. It doesn't come from you. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from your pastor. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from your friend. It comes from Jesus. All power and all authority. God says, nowhere in my word does it tell you to run and flee. My word always tells you to be steadfast, immovable in your walk with me. In 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See that? Have you ever noticed all the teachings that God gives us? It's always the word. You can go and find the word, just about word for what he's telling you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Stop. Let's understand that today. We are not fighting one another. We are fighting the demonic forces of hell that are roaming on this earth today. When I read that scripture the other day, I actually saw, instead of people, I saw demons. Demons have to work through a body. The same way Jesus uses us, you know, to speak for him. Satan imitates that, and he uses people to work through. What's going on in the world is a demonic force that has risen its ugly head to the highest heights that we've ever seen it. And we need to understand that it's not the people that that devil is using that we're fighting against. We're supposed to be praying against the demonic forces of hell and watch them be torn down. I don't know if you sprayed with something up here or what, but I'm allergic to whatever it is. But anyhow, let's please understand that today. We're, you know, with the politics, it's not the people we're fighting. It's the demonic force that's using these people to bring bring the ugliness into the world. And as long as you're fighting with a person, nothing is going to happen. We have to find out what the principality is that's in back of that person or in that person and destroy that demonic principality. All right? It's time that we do this thing right. And, you know, God brought us, you know, started teaching us about the courtroom in heaven. And to tell you honest truth, I don't care how many times I read the Bible, I didn't realize there was a courtroom in heaven until years ago when God started teaching us that. And now it's just thing, you think, how come I never saw that before? It's because now is the time, you know, been for what past 6 years or so, that God has wanted us to see that we take our dealings to the courtroom of heaven and get them taken care of properly. There's a lot of teaching out there on it, but you have to make sure it's biblical teaching and not just somebody like can write. All right. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me. Paul says, and for me. See, we're supposed to be praying for each other. Isn't that what you just said there? You know, all this here breastplate stuff, you know, all this armor is all the things we're supposed to be walking in every day. We don't literally go along, put a hat on our head, you know, and some put on our feet. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're supposed to be walking in. And then Paul says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was saying, pray for me that I speak the way God wants me to speak. We need to pray for President Donald Trump that God will work through him and speak the things that he wants through Donald Trump that he wants to be said. Just like the enemy is using all the other people to say what he wants to say, we need to be praying for our president that God can boldly speak through this man that he's chosen to say what needs to be said in this given hour. I'm hearing God say this next 4 years is going to be so demonically inclined that the warfare is going to come to a point where you're going to think you won't be able to make it. But as you stand your ground in him, you will make it. And I'm hearing God say, you need to reinforce your heart right now this morning to an understanding that you are God's, that you have all power and all authority, and the enemy cannot take you out. And I'm hearing God say, it's imperative that you understand this today, not tomorrow, not when you're in the middle of the warfare, but today, to get yourself all prepared to fight this enemy that is coming upon the scene stronger than what it is right now. All right. Then God said, is not my word a lamp unto thy feet? And you can find that in Psalm 119, 105. And he says, does not my word tell you that all shall see the glory of the Lord? And you find that in Numbers 14, 21. Does not my word tell you that I am the author and finisher of your faith? And you find that in Hebrews 12, 2. Then what is the problem? Where is your faith and trust in me? I'm asking you, what is your problem? Where is your faith and where is your trust in God? It doesn't matter what I'm hearing God say, it doesn't matter what the sea of confusion is around about you. You don't have to be involved in that sea of confusion if you're trusting and have faith in God. Because God is not the author of confusion, and he doesn't place us in confusion. So when confusion is around you, it's totally the enemy. And you need to trust and have faith in God that he's going to see you through that. Well, no, let's put it this way, that he's going to destroy that sea of confusion around you so that it won't be affecting you. All right? God said, pluck it out, little ones, pluck it out. Pluck out all the doubt and unbelief. Pluck out all the lethargy. Pluck out anything that hinders your walk with me. Pluck out all the hate and discord among the brethren. Children, free yourself from all that encumbers you. Then go forth in total victory, knowing that I am with you always. Now, I know that you're just like me, and I know there are certain things you've been battling recently, and you know they're not godly. And you're fighting with everything you have. Keep fighting. Keep getting it out of you. And don't allow it to take you out of your victory circle. All right? The call has gone forth. Will you answer the call this day and not turn back? Will you surrender all unto me and stand firm in your walk with me, no matter where this call takes you? Jeremiah 35:17 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, because I spoke to them, but they did not listen, and I have called them, but they did not answer. So what did God say? The call has gone forth. Will you answer the call this day and not turn back? Then in Isaiah 66:4, it says, I also chose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen, but they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. Now the cost of following Jesus in Luke 9:57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. This is the cost of following Jesus. And verse 61 said, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What does putting your hands on the plow mean? Putting your hands on the plow means that we have decided that we are going to commit our lives to God. We believe that God will save us when we repent of our sins, get baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. So, hearing all this, are you ready to answer the call? And this was the call. God said, the call has gone forth. Will you answer the call this day and not turn back? You know, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. I put that scripture so you'd understand that. Will you surrender all unto me and stand firm in your walk with me, no matter where this call takes you? Church, I'm hearing God say, church, you're at a divine crossroad. You're about to make the biggest choice in your life. And God said, make sure you make the right choice. He said, I sent out my call. Are you going to answer? Are you going to sit at my feet and allow me to bring you through all the diversities that life is going to throw your way? I am a triune God, and I know all things. And I am with you each and every day, if you will believe this. And I will hear your voice, and I will bring you through as long as you have trust in me. And I'm hearing God say, deep is calling unto deep this day once again, but deeper than deeper. He says, each time I call, it's going to be a deeper call than it was the time before. He said, this call is transcending all other calls that I have placed out there before you. And when you answer, when and if you answer this call, it is a very serious call that you're answering. And you cannot ever look back. The altar is open if you want to answer the call of God on your life. This call that you're answering will take you to the far regions of the world. It'll take you into the very depths of poverty and degradation. But God said, I will be with you through it all. And he said, I'm looking for the upright in heart this morning. Those who will trust me with the very fiber of their being and not look back. The anointing is in the altar to answer the call. And when you answer, you're going to go deeper than what you were before you walked in here this morning. But you have to answer that call.